The first reading today, we hear about Moses going up to Mount Nebo on the plains of Moab. And so it's in this area that faces Jericho. So in other words, down by the Dead Sea, which is the lowest spot on earth. And yet there are these mountains that rise from there. And in that spot, as it describes, there is one particular mountain that up at the top you can see north and south, east and west. You think about what it talks about. Everything as far as Dan, which is all the way up on the border of Lebanon, all the way down to the Negev, which is all the way down to the south. So you're talking 80 miles that you can see on a clear day, I guess, but it is a massive area. And it is there that Moses was allowed to be able to see the Holy Land, which would be on the other side of the river at that point. But he wasn't able to go into that. And the reason he wasn't able to go in, we heard in the readings just the other day, is that God told Moses to speak to the rock, and that the rock would bring forth its water. But Moses struck the rock. Now, there was an earlier occasion at Mount Sinai where Moses was told to strike the rock, and so he did. But the second time, which is in the book of Numbers, Moses is simply told to speak to the rock, and this would show forth the sanctity of the Lord. But Moses got angry at the people, and took matters into his own hand, took his staff, and he struck the rock, and the water came out. And so God punished him for that. Now we look at that and say, especially when I think about the fact that Aaron is right there with him, and now Aaron also is not going to be allowed to go into the promised land because of the same thing. Now it's interesting, and this is something that's important for all of us, to be able to see the fact that as we grow in holiness, the sins become far more grave. Remember, at Mount Sinai, Aaron made the golden calf. He led the people into total rebellion against God. That did not cost him the ability to get into the promised land. But the fact that he cooperated with Moses in not speaking to the rock, that cost him being able to get into the Holy Land. And you look at it and say, wait. This is so much smaller than this other one. I mean, he made a golden calf. He led the people into rebellion against God. And now he cooperates with Moses in being angry and not bringing forth the sanctity of God. And that cost him. And so it is. The closer one grows to God in holiness, the more serious the sins become. What might be, for you or me, a minor point, an imperfection, could be actually a rather serious sin for someone who is a great saint. You look at somebody like St. Teresa, who actually made a fourth vow. As a nun, she made the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But when she had achieved those heights of holiness, she made another vow, that she would do only the will of God. So if she knew that something was the will of God, and she chose not to do it, that would be a serious matter on her part. You and I might look at it and go, what, that minor little thing? Give me a break. What's the big deal? The big deal is that based on where her holiness was, she knew that this was the will of God and made a choice either to do it or not. You and I, we don't even have a clue if it's the will of God sometimes. And consequently, not doing it isn't as serious a matter. Now, you might look at that then and say, well, if that's the case, then it's better if I don't grow in holiness, because ignorance is bliss, and if I don't know the will of God, then I'm not going to be held responsible. Well, you're going to be held responsible for not growing in holiness. So, which is worse? Obviously, the latter. So we have an obligation to grow in holiness, and we have an obligation to strive to conform ourselves to the will of God. Now, again, you can look at it and say, yeah, but look at the effect if you don't do the will of God. That's assuming that you knew what the will of God was. And the more that you are conformed to the will of God, the more freedom you have. Remember, God's will is perfect. God's will is only what is the best. So when we look at it and say, no, I'd rather do my own will, what we're saying is, number one, I would rather do something less than what is the best. Number two, it's total pride because I want to do it my way. I want to be in total control of whatever the situation is. And number three, it is a total disregard for God. It is placing ourselves higher than God. Not that that's what we're thinking about at the time, but that's the reality. Well, I know what God's will is, but I don't care. I'm doing it my way because my way is better than God's. Talk about arrogance. But isn't that exactly what we do? Comes right back down to the devil. I will not serve. So we need to be very careful. Moses, we are told in Scripture, became the meekest man on the face of the earth. Meekness being the virtue opposite of anger. The people of Israel pushed him to the point that he got really angry. And in his anger, he did something really, really stupid. I'm sure we can all relate to that. We've probably all gotten pretty angry at some point and probably done something really, really stupid. That's what Moses did. Now you could look at it and say, well, those people of Israel, I mean, come on. Yeah, we can look at our own lives too and say, well, it's this person's fault that I got angry. No, it's not. If I got angry, that was me. Yeah, maybe that person was doing something really bad. I'm the one that got angry, and I'm the one that did something stupid. I can't blame that on anybody else other than me. That's exactly what God is doing with Moses. It was Moses' decision to get angry and to be disobedient. It was Moses' decision to do something prideful. And so that was not something he could blame on the people. So we have to take responsibility for our own sins. Now, when it comes to this point that it makes about Moses' body being buried there, opposite in the ravine opposite Bet Peor and the land of Moab, but to this day no one knows the place of his burial. Look in the book of Jude, and it talks about Satan and Saint Michael fighting over the body of Moses. The devil obviously knows where it is, but the people don't. I don't know if Moses was buried on Mount Nebo, because it doesn't say that. But Mount Nebo is also the mountain where the prophet Jeremiah took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in a cave. So you can look all over the internet, and there are all kinds of these things that talk about, oh, we found the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Covenant's here or there. It says in Scripture the Ark of the Covenant is not going to be found again till all the children of Israel are gathered together. It has not been found. What an interesting mountain. If that's where Moses' body is, and nobody knows where it is, if that's where the Ark of the Covenant is, and nobody knows where it is, I'd like to have an opportunity to go to Mount Nebo sometime and dig around. Obviously, even if we did, we wouldn't find anything, because God doesn't want it found yet. But an interesting place historically nonetheless, to be able to think of the holiness. That's where Moses was buried, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is, that's the place where Abraham was able to go and to look at the Holy Land, and that's where Moses climbed the mountain to look at the Holy Land. Which also another just total side point. Moses, remember, was 80 when God called him, and then God had him climb Mount Sinai. Not an easy task. Now he's 120, and God has him climb Mount Nebo. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I'd be in shape to climb a mountain at this point. And Moses was 55 years older than me, and God has him climbing a mountain so that he can look upon the Holy Land. So God asks some difficult things sometimes. He's going to test us. The question is, are we willing to do what he wants us to do? Are we willing to conform our will to his? That's the challenge that Moses had to face. That's the challenge every saint has had to face. That's the challenge you and I are going to have to face. So strive to continue to grow in holiness. But that continued growth in holiness is continued conformity to the will of God. And as we get to that point, and those tests are placed before us, we have to make that choice. Do I want to do my will or God's?